Good evening and welcome to the Paul Sullivan Show. I'm Steve Lavelli, filling in for Paul once again this week. And in this hour, we're going to talk about the strike at NSTAR, which began last night or early this morning. The president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America, Gary Sullivan, joins us here in the studio. Gary, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
You have how many workers out on strike at this time?
Just under 2,000.
And how many facilities are there for NSTAR in Massachusetts?
Oh, boy. Facilities, we're reporting locations, I'm going to guess probably 20 to 25, but there's tons of substations and places like that where people don't report.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so a lot of people in a lot of different places around the state are seeing you guys on the picket line. Obviously, we always assume, well, it must be about the money. Is it about the money?
No, it's not about the money at all.
What is it about?
It's about safety. It's about worker safety, and it's about community safety. For a very long time, you know, our national union has been on the forefront of this whole deregulation scandal, I'll call it. And everything points to preventive maintenance has to be done on these systems. They just don't wear like they used to. These systems are getting older every day. And what happens with these companies as time goes and people retire and they don't fill their jobs, they don't do preventive maintenance. And what happens when you don't do preventive maintenance is the system starts to fall apart. They have a little storm, and it's like a hurricane hit. Or, you know, like we hear about a dog getting electrocuted by stray voltage. That's from records not being kept because there's employees that have retired and they haven't filled their jobs.
How long has the preventive maintenance situation been a problem that the union has been talking about with the company?
Well, in 97, when we went through deregulation, it just kind of faded away from just before that to present day. And again, it faded away because of attrition, early outs and retirements and not filling those vacancies. And now we have just enough people to keep up with the emergency work where there's no crews out there doing any preventive maintenance at all.
So it's a relatively new problem. This was you can say that at NSTAR or its predecessor companies that this was not a problem.
Well, you know,
it's
interesting you ask that because they did an internal assessment themselves, the company, in 2001 because they knew it was a problem because we brought it to their attention, and that assessment talked about the first statement in that assessment was we have lost the discipline of proactively running the day-to-day system. That was in 2001. Now, we're down approximately, I'd say, between 15 and 25% in the workforce since then. So imagine what it's like now.
And in 2001, that was the summer that we had a number of blackouts. So a lot of people were unhappy with the NSTAR service back then. And was this a report that they came out with after that period?
This report is as a result of that. Because of that outage, we were finally able to expose them and put enough light on the subject that they were forced to do this and address the situation.
All right. So you're saying that basically that NSTAR admitted in 2001 that staffing, that maintenance is a problem, and therefore the staffing of the maintenance is a problem, and did they claim to be taking steps to do something about that?
Well, yeah, they claim to be taking steps, and frankly, you know, to their credit, in some cases they are, but I think we disagree in which direction they're going. The second statement, by the way, on that internal assessment was that corrective maintenance backlog is growing at 40%. So imagine it's growing at 40% from 2001 to present, and we have less workers now and all through that time than we did then, not doing preventive maintenance at all. That was our biggest demand going in. And I get a kick out of, I haven't read any newspapers, but I'm getting asked by members on the picket line, how come they're saying we didn't bring up the safety issues? And I brought a copy for you, like we can autograph it for you if you'd like. That's our first proposal we gave to NSTAR, and the title of it is, it's about solutions, because we're team players. We want this business to succeed. And that's a pretty extensive report that our national helped us put together that tells this company, here's how we think it should be done. Separate crews so they don't get distracted with emergencies and they go do preventive maintenance every day. In Boston, it's one of the oldest systems in the country, and we're right on the salt water, and every day that system breaks down a little bit more and a little bit more.
And the document that you hand me, the report that you hand me from the union, it's from September of 2001. And right here on the first and second pages, there are subheadings regarding preventive maintenance and problems according to the union, with the company carrying out appropriate preventive maintenance. So you've been saying, the union's been saying for a while now, for a few years now, this is a problem that has to be addressed, and you, the company, are not dealing with it. What is their response to that? They must be able to show that they feel that they are dealing with that.
Well, I think they try to just throw money at it, and I think that's where they come from. That's what's important to these people. This administration that's in there right now, all that matters is money, and it's not about money with our members. It's about solutions, and it's about going to work every day and being able to go home safely to your family.
All right, we're talking with Gary Sullivan. He is the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike right now against NSTAR. The company is saying that we, the customers, your average customers, are probably not going to notice that you're on strike. How long can that be the case?
Well, I'm going to tell you, they could barely run this company with us there. My 2,000 members there had trouble keeping up with the stuff that's going on. They are not going to be able to maintain this thing. And they have supervisors that haven't done the work in years or haven't been trained at all. They have contractors on the system. We have no idea where they came from. We know they're not certified. We know they're not local because the local contractors, all the local contractors, are not crossing the picket lines. So I fear that someone's going to get hurt. And I'll say this to the community, that our members, we did not like taking this measure, but we did it in the long run. It's the right thing to do, because if we bite the apple now and we dig in, then we'll be able to get preventive maintenance crews in here, and we'll fix their system so it's reliable like it used to be and should be.
How many people are we talking about? How much more of a staff do they need?
Well, you know, I could tell you they need 300 or 400 workers, right? But you know, I'm a negotiator. I know you don't always get what you want. So we told them, look, all you need is around 100 workers. I think it's in the report there how many we said they needed, about 120. And, of course, they're telling people, well, we offered them 100 and some 30 jobs in negotiations. And so what I'm trying to tell everybody is, well, ask them how many people have retired in the last 6 months. They're barely filling those slots, let alone adding to it so that we have enough crews to do the work.
All right, 617-254-1030 is our number. If you have a question about the NSTAR strike, we're talking with the president of the union local, Gary Sullivan. And it doesn't sound like 100. I mean, again, when you have 2,000 members, that doesn't sound like a lot of people. They're probably not going to, even if they were to agree, they're not going to hire them tomorrow. Is this something that would have to be phased in if you were to win this point with the union? Would that be acceptable? Or how far apart are you guys, I guess, is what I'm getting at here on these staffing questions?
Well, on the staffing questions, I think we both agree that the training that our members receive, I mean, to be a accredited line worker, you're talking 5 years. To be a splicer, an inspector, a trailman, you're talking 5, 6, 7 years. So we understand these workers aren't going to be brought in overnight and trained overnight, but we've been telling them this for over 10 years, so guess what? If they had listened, we'd be fine right now, wouldn't we?
All right. 617-254-1030, our telephone number here at WBZ. Gary Sullivan from the Utility Workers Union of America is our guest. We're talking about the NSTAR strike, and we would love to hear from you. Welcome back. We're talking with Gary Sullivan, who is the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America, and we're talking about the strike against NSTAR, which is less than 24 hours old. Again, Gary, coming back to the money, everybody, again, always says it's always about the money, even though you're talking about staffing. How did the negotiations go regarding a raise for this contract? You already completed that part of it. You had an agreement on that already.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider it a non-issue because, you know, they give the company, how it goes is they give you an offer and you counter. And of course, you always counter with more. And then they counter with what they think is reasonable. And it ended there. I think they offered 3%, and I don't mind saying it. And we came back with 5, and they came back with 4, and we never discussed it again. So money was not the issue at all.
And that was put to bed, that issue, when? How long ago?
Well, that was done last night. We never talked about it. We started negotiating December 2nd. We never talked about money until last night, really.
Until the 11th hour.
Yeah.
That's when for people who don't know, last night is when the contract ran out, and your union membership had taken a vote in March that it would not work without a contract, basically, that would authorize you guys to go on strike if there was no contract.
That's correct. We did make a go of it about a month ago where we met for a week straight. We locked ourselves up and tried to get it done. And there was some talk about money there right at the very end again. But there were too many issues on the table that it even was significant.
So, again, the contentious issues were not the money. But the
Oh, no.
All right. So that's why you didn't spend much talking about that. All right.
Right.
Aside from the staffing, what are some of the other issues?
Oh, boy. It'd be short if I could tell you what was in there that was a plus.
Okay.
Let me tell you the pluses. They increased meal money. We have our members. They work all kinds of hours there, so they get an extra 50 cents if they're going to buy a meal, which is the cheese to the cheeseburger, I guess we can get now, right? And then shift differential. This one was the real, this is the one that almost made us accept this. They offered 15 cents for somebody to be away from their family all kinds of hours of the night. We thought that was quite generous. Tuition assistance, they went up $1,000, which was fine with us. That was fine. And another, we're putting it as a benefit because we didn't know where else to put it. They were offering to buy back 40 hours of sick time. You know, give our members an incentive to come into work sick and save it so you can get 40 hours pay later, I guess from all the other stuff they're cutting. And, of course, we considered the 4% raise a benefit. But let me tell you some of the stuff aside from the preventive maintenance. Retiree health care was a big issue for us going in here. And anybody who's been paying attention knows it's a real issue out there.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we said. We need vested benefits for our retirees. Somebody should not retire today when they've planned their whole future, and tomorrow somebody can just pull their retirement because they want a stock price to go up or they want a higher bonus. So we wanted protection from that. Now, as far as I know, nobody has that. So we compromised with the company. We said, look, we understand that if we ask for vested benefits, it's a very difficult thing for you to try to come through here. So our compromise was this. If we negotiate for retiree benefits today, and we have they offered a two-year contract, so let's just say for 2 years, for that two-year period, they stay, there they are, that's them. And next contract, we renegotiate, and we take our chances, just like anybody else. If they need to cut into them, they tell us, and they tell us why. If we increase them, we increase them. We thought that was a very fair offer, and the company wanted no part of it. They wanted the right to change those benefits and take those benefits away at any time, and that frightened us. And I got to tell you, I'm very proud of my members because, you know, as you know, they're working, so they're not retired, but they stood up for that issue. And the other place they're attacking our retirees, and remember, these are the people that built this company so that this guy can get paid his millions of dollars and give himself his bonuses. These people built it for him. So to reward them, he's going to take away their vision coverage. You don't know any senior citizens that need vision, right? Dental coverage, he's going to take away their dental coverage. And this is the package they're talking about that was top quality. I don't know, they're telling me they're saying something in the news about it's a top quality thing, but we couldn't accept that. You can't take those kind of benefits away from our most vulnerable people who, these are the people that walked picket lines in 71, 86, and got us the benefits that we have, and we felt we needed to do that, you know, for them. Their life insurance, you know, this is great. If you turn 65, they're going to cut your life insurance by 33%. Now, most of our people live till 65. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on here, but we know it's got to stop. It's just got to stop. I could go on forever here.
I'll bet. We'll hold you there. We'll hold you there. Gary Sullivan is our guest. We'll take some phone calls. Gary Sullivan is the president of the Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike against NSTAR. 617-254-1030 is our number. Let's go to Medford. Al, you're on WBC.
Hi, Gary.
Yes.
Hi. Would you not say this is a fair assumption to assume that this is corporate greed rather than taking into consideration the safety of not only the customer but the employee?
I think that's a fair statement. Yeah, I think it's a fair statement.
All right, Al?
Well, good luck and hope everything works out okay.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Salem. Jan, you're on WBC.
Hi, Paul, Gary.
Yes.
I'm in Salem, Mass., and we have T-SPAN up here. Is that going to be the next strike?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be the next strike, but it'll give me a second to tell you what they're doing with the gas. We're good friends with the union up there at Keyspan, and they're excellent, excellent, skilled, and trained people. Let me tell you what they're doing in the gas. There's a meter on your house, the gas meter, And that keeps the gas from going into your house and blowing up your house.
Mm-hmm.
So the law says every 7 years they need to change that meter to make sure it doesn't happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, these companies aren't doing that. They're just letting it go.
No, it happened. I had to have a thermocouple replaced. And this was in February. And the man said, your seven-year replacement. And he replaced the meter at the same time. But he couldn't do the maintenance. Because he said that's contracted out. Now, my next question is why? Why can't the people coming in from Keyspan do the maintenance?
Well, they should be doing it because they're the most trained and most qualified. But I'll bet you money that the people that are contracted out to do it are paid less,
yeah.
Which means they're less qualified, and that gives a bigger bonus to the CEO, really.
No. Well, Jan, we thank you very much. We'll go to Framingham. Carol, you're on WBZ.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Sullivan, I just wanted to express my support for you, what you're doing, and for all of your members. I think it's really important that you make a stand in this country. It seems there to be too much corporate greed, and while they reduce your benefits, then they award themselves multi-million dollar bonuses. And I just think that it's time that people make a stand and... You know, you guys deserve respect, all the hard work that you do. You're doing a dangerous job, and the people out here support you. I just wanted to tell you.
Well, thank you, and I'm very proud of my members for taking the stand.
All right. Carol, thank you for the call. We're talking with Gary Sullivan from the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike against NSTAR. And we go to East Boston. Mary, you're on WBZ.
Good evening, President Sullivan.
Yes.
I wonder if you could speak to the recent stock option cash outs by the senior executives at NSTAR. Vice President Nolan, Vice President Judge, Vice President Manning recently cashed out, quote, stock options in the millions of dollars. Did that have any cause or effect with this work stoppage?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if it had any cause or effect for this work stoppage because I don't know why we're having a work stoppage. The issues I look at are just they're just silly issues, and it shouldn't be this way. But we asked the executives when they did that. We got calls from our members that were upset. They heard maybe the company's going to be for sale. What's going on here? And we were told it was just they were matured and it was time. But and you know, we're not one to criticize anybody's salaries or what anybody does. But the timing of that was pretty uncanny when you talk about the millions of dollars that went out the door and the pocket change that it would cost to fund vision care for our retirees. I mean, it's just scary.
Exactly. Keep up the hard work. We support you in East Boston.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We'll go to Norton. Carrie, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Jerry. Proud telephone worker union member. It is atrocious what they're doing to our retirees. Every company, it seems, is doing the very same thing. We are behind you. We'll walk that picket line with you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. We love your union.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Down the Cape, Austin, you're on WBZ.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm a retiree from NSTAR. I retired a year ago, January.
Yes, sir, and you're paying through the nose for health care, aren't you?
That's correct. I would like to thank you guys. I was on the picket line this morning.
Well, thank you for that.
I worked out of the meter department on the Cape, and when I was there a year and a half ago, we had 13 people. Now they're down to 6.
It's unbelievable. It's another Porsche in the garage for somebody.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Austin, thank you for the call. And we go to Burlington. Kara, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and let you know that, unfortunately, first thing this morning, I lost my power. And, you know, as I was watching these guys come down and try and put it back on, it took us a really long time to get it back on. And as much as they tried, it was like about a half an hour for the guys to try and figure out how to move the bucket up and down and just to get the leg stabilized on the truck. And I just kind of feel that the safety of these gentlemen is in harm's way also. And it would be nice to get this worked out so that the guys who are really qualified to be up there could be up there doing their job.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm just glad somebody didn't get hurt there. And frankly, I'm surprised they knew to put the legs out even.
Well, I hope things work out, and, you know, we have our fingers crossed for all you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kara. 617-254-1030 is the number. I'm Steve Lavelli in for Paul Sullivan, and our guest is Gary Sullivan, the president of the Utility Workers Union of America, Local 369, which is on strike against NSTAR. We're asking you for your comments or questions for Gary. We go to New Bedford. Pat, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Gary.
Yes.
Hi, I have a question. In the past couple of years, there's been several houses that have blown up in the area, and people have gotten killed. Is this the lack of workers that are that would cause these things to happen for safety reasons?
Well, not knowing what houses you're talking about, what I can say is that is definitely a potential. When you don't have enough workers and you don't do preventive maintenance, you know, there's shutoff valves. A lot of people don't know. Out in the street, there's these shutoff valves for safety where the fire department or the electric company or the gas company can, in an emergency, shut off the gas to your house. And you're supposed to, as a utility, you're supposed to regulate those. In other words, keep them clear, raise them when they pave the street, lower them when they dig down on the street. And the company hasn't done any of this stuff because it's part of preventive maintenance. And we understand now what they're doing is some valves they're filling with sand, which is it's illegal. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on. So the potential is there, but I can't speak to the houses you're talking about.
I'm talking about Collette Street, First Street, in Framingham, there was two girls.
Oh, those poor kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if preventive maintenance could have stopped that, but I do know that preventive maintenance works and can stop things like that and narrow it down to happen less.
All right. Pat, we thank you very much. 617-254-1030 is your number. Back with more with Gary Sullivan from the Utility Workers Union of America on strike against NSTAR. I'm Steve Lavelli for Paul Sullivan on WBZ. Welcome back, Steve Lavelli, in for Paul Sullivan. Our guest is Gary Sullivan. He is the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike against NSTAR. And, Gary, although we've had a lot of calls here so far of people offering their support in your strike effort, I know there are people who, when they hear, well, these guys that are on strike, yeah, they make $95,000 a year. Why should I feel sorry for them? Why should I worry about whether or not they get enough people on their job? They want too much. They would cost a lot of money for the company to add another 100 people at $95,000 a year. How can you be asking that? What do you say to those people?
Well, listen, here's what I say to them. It's a great question, and I don't blame you for asking it. I'd ask it. And if I was answering for me, I'd say it's because I'm fat and bald, and that's why you should feel sorry for me. But the fact of the matter is this. Our members, I think they reported 95 or 97 was the line worker's salary. That's one of our higher rates, number one. Number two, that's not for a regular week's pay. And that's part of this whole preventive maintenance argument. Our members are going out there, in some cases, working 2 years' worth of hours in one. I mean, we can't go home. And we said to the company, when they had all these takeaways on the table, these premiums that are tied to things like overtime, we said, look, take them all. You can have every single one of these premiums, but you can't force us to work overtime. We can go home to our families. And they rejected that proposal. Yet they want to say that we don't know a good package when we see it. These members that make that kind of money, let me tell you don't want to put the kind of hours in these guys are putting in.
So your members are willing to walk away from that overtime, which I guess they would be doing if there was additional staffing.
Absolutely.
All right. And a little while ago you said to a caller, you don't really know why you're on strike. What did you mean by that?
I was hoping they'd come back and tell me. I'll tell you what I meant by that. In the last year, this union has negotiated 7 contracts. That's a lot. We're pretty experienced. And we're pretty experienced at takeaways. Part of our industry is deregulated. And when a company comes to us and they say, look, it's costing us more to produce the electricity than we can sell it for, we know we have to give concessions. And we don't have a problem with that. And I brought you some contracts to show you that it's part of our life now. Well, guess what? This company, this guy, and his stockholders meeting 2 weeks ago announces that in the Globe, I read it because I wasn't at the shareholders meeting, that this is their best year ever. Well, if it's your best year ever, why are you coming to ask for takeaways? I don't understand that. 10 consecutive years of dividends this and 14 consecutive years of record that. And I'm thinking, why am I on strike? I can't figure it out. I look at these issues and I say, you got to be kidding me. 10 sick days to 7 sick days when our members are working twice the hours in a year? That should not be here. That shouldn't be here. And frankly, it's one of the reasons I came on the show tonight, because I don't like hearing the distortion from the company of what's going on. And I wish they were here, because I think we'd have had a neat debate on the facts here. I would have showed them the proposal, and maybe would have shook their memory a little bit from saying safety hasn't been discussed.
All right. Well, I should let the audience know that WBC has invited NSTAR to participate in this program tonight, and they did not pick up the offer, but I mean, they were invited to come in tomorrow night or some other night this week, and we await to hear from
them.
Can
I come tomorrow night?
Well, you've had your turn. This is your turn. 617-254-1030 is the number. We go to Sandwich. Dave, you're on WBC.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, Gary, I was listening on the phone here, and I heard you talk about, you know, the 2 years that, or effectively 2 years someone has to work to make this $96,000 that the company spokesman was talking about. I mean, that's really what happens. I mean, they don't just make $96,000 a year like the papers and Channel 5 say.
That's correct. That's a distortion, and I don't know. I know they don't tell the papers that, but I would think the papers would ask it, because I know when I'm talking to reporters and the press, they're very good and they pull everything out. You know, if you're trying to hide something, they're pretty good at it. And I don't know why they're not doing that. And I'll tell you this, those workers making $97,000, if you put them at their base pay, they'd have to work for about 56 years to make what our CEO makes in stock options, bonuses, and salary in 1 year.
Really?
So what? I'd like to see that in the paper.
Yeah, I mean, 56 years? I mean, what does that guy do for 56 years? I don't know.
Well, he can't retire because there's no health care.
I called because I saw the paper, and I thought this was another thing about, you know, a bunch of greedy guys looking for more. But after listening to you, if that's true, that it takes 2 years, I mean, you know, I changed my mind on the whole issue.
Well, thank you. Please spread that.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for the call. We'll go to Winthrop. Peter, you're on WBZ.
Hello, Mr. Sullivan.
Yes.
How you doing? Question about your retiree benefits.
Yes.
Now, these are people that work 25, 35 years, retire with a pretense they're going to be have insurance till the day they check out of here.
Not only that, but when they negotiated those benefits, they took less pay and less vacation to acquire them. And so now they have an IOU or a chit in their pocket. And when they go to retire and they try and cash it in, these people are saying, no, we're not going to take that coupon.
So they're double dipping for all intensive purposes.
That's right.
They made the deal, now they're reneging on it.
Bingo.
That's just corporate greed at its worst.
I agree.
Corporate greed at its worst. I drove by your picket line today. You guys look good out there. I beeped the horn.
Thank you for beeping.
All right.
Thank you, Peter. We go to South Boston. Michelle, you're on WBZ with Gary Sullivan.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hi. As the wife of an NSTAR employee, I just want to settle something. The $95,000 a year, it's cheaper to pay one man on forced overtime, $95,000 a year, than it is to hire another man and give him a salary and benefits. So I don't see a whole lot of my husband.
That, you know, that's an excellent point, and I thank you for making that point. That is right on the money.
It is. And also, on another point, it's true that NSTAR is one of the highest valued utility stocks in the country. So high that, in fact, I think it's tomorrow, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to be splitting the stock and giving a 2-for-1.
Well, I can't correct you because I'm not positive, but I thought it was today, which I thought was pretty ironic. But it's today or tomorrow, yeah. Their stock is splitting, ladies and gentlemen.
Hmm. Yeah, and if it's splitting and so high, why would all these VPs be dumping their stock, cashing it in? Are they setting us up for a sale to, say, National Grid?
You know, we don't know. We don't know what's going on, but it's just really, I've never seen anything like it, frankly.
The timing is very ironic.
It is. It's very ironic.
It's very ironic.
Interesting question, Michelle. Thank you very much for the call. We'll go to Foxborough. Chris, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Gary. Chris Brolin. I'm in Foxborough, and I'm a proud member of Local 369. And I'm one of those people that gets somewhere close to $90,000 a year. And believe me, you put in the hours, Steve. and ask the people on the Cape about the three blizzards that happened this past winter, if they wanted us down there, putting in those hours.
Sure.
Right, Gary?
That's correct.
What I really wanted to call is tell the public tomorrow, Boston Globe 100, N-Star will figure prominently in every single category because of their money. All we want is our share of what we want.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. We'll go to Rochester. Michelle, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Gary. I'm a wife of a local 369 member, and I just wondered if Gary could put out there for the public a little bit about the shift work that the company is trying to put out to its members. I know my husband signed up for a job, and it was a specific job, and now he's being, you know, threatened with, well, you're going to miss all these things, and we happen to have three children, so that's a lot of time out from our family, regardless of what your pay scale is.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. It is true that one of the company's issues, actually, it was two-part. They wanted our overhead line workers to work a shift, and they also wanted to change the non-shift schedule so that a day worker could work any time from Sunday to Saturday and any hour from 7 to 8 p.m. So if you take, for example, some of our members who are single mothers who have daycare issues, and they're in an office where it doesn't matter what really they work, and they change their hours so they can't get the bus home, there's no thought into it. They just want what they want. As far as the overhead issue goes, we were pretty close on that. We had a pretty reasonable solution, and it certainly didn't bring us out on strike, but it is one of the issues that's still unsolved.
And also, you know, when they were called upon, my husband went down to Florida for 2 weeks to pitch in after the hurricane.
Well, you know that they don't count what your husband does. They don't count the dangerous job he has, the hours he works, the time away from his family that he has. They only count what's going to affect their stock price and their bonuses.
That's right.
And thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you, Michelle. We'll go to Westwood. Bill, you're on WBZ with Gary Sullivan.
Hey, Mr. Sullivan.
Yes, sir.
All right, is it Gary, is it?
That's correct.
Can I call you Gary?
Sure, you can call me Gary. I've been called worse.
Listen, I read the papers constantly, and I see the airline industry and what's happening to those workers. How does that compare to what we're trying to protect here, if that's what you're trying to do?
You're right on the target. It's nationwide, man. There is an attack on working people, and someone has to stop it. Now, certainly, I'm not saying that Local 369 can do that, but we can do our part, and I'm so proud of my bargaining committee and my membership for standing up for what's right.
I tell you, it's a shame what happened to those airline workers.
It's awful, and if we don't watch out, and I mean we, working America, it's going to happen to all of us.
I know that's a deregulated industry. How does that compare to the utility industry?
Well, I see the utility industry as, I mean, they're similar in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of patents since deregulation, but, I mean, think about it. I've missed flights before, and I caught the next flight, but, you know, you come home and you got no lights, or you go to work and you got no power, that's a huge difference. You can't function without electricity. It's a necessity. As our great president, FDR, said, it's a necessity. It's not a luxury.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Take care. 617-254-1030 is our number. We have a few more minutes with Gary Sullivan, the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike against NSTAR. We'll be right back with our guest and with your calls. I'm Steve Lavelli for Paul Sullivan on WBZ. Welcome back. 7 minutes before 9, we're talking with Gary Sullivan, the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. They are on strike against NSTAR. We're going to take a few more calls for Gary. We go to Braintree. Ed, you're on WBC.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Paul. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Hey, you know, my father worked for Edison for 45 years, and he's all crippled now. He's got no, he's got emphysema. He's got asbestosis. They never got any protection. They threw him off his insurance as soon as he turned 62, I believe. And, you know, nobody from Edison's ever called him. I couldn't get a job with the Edison. I wonder if any of them CEOs are worried about that, getting asbestosis, because, you know, if you watch my father try to breathe now, it'd be awful.
Well, I can tell you that, again, I'll say it, when one of our wives called, and she pointed it out, they don't look at what we do, and you know, our members come out of their work life pretty beat up. I mean, they're working out in all kinds of weather, all kinds of conditions, all kinds of hazardous materials, and I think that's a shame. I think that's a shame that your dad gets to where he is, and he worked his whole life to get there, and somebody's worried about putting another Porsche in their garage.
Ed, I thank you.
You're right.
I thank you very much for the call. We'll go down the Cape. Dana, you're in WBZ.
Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
Good. Proud member of Local 369. I'm one of those $97,000 a year linemen. I worked 1,122 hours last year to achieve that. And I'd just like the public to know that when they're in their homes and it's pouring rain out, who's out there playing with 25,000 volts and 65-mile-an-hour winds? The average person doesn't want to touch their radio in a bathtub. And we don't mind going out and doing what we're doing, and we do it for the public. And it was great support today on the line.
Well, thank you for that, brother. And let me just say to people that when the brother says 1,120 hours, that's on top of his 2080.
That's right.
That's not altogether. That's on top of it.
Every day we'd lucky to come home to our wives with 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Well, thank you for what you do, brother.
And we don't bat an eye about it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yep, Dana, we thank you very much for the call to Bedford. Bob, you're on WBZ.
Hi. Gary, I want to commend you for the work you've been doing, and it was a pleasure listening to you tonight. Listen to the company spokesperson. She sounds like a Hollywood actress. listening to you, we've been able to clarify a lot of things, and I want to commend you for all the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank my members.
All right. Thank you, Bob. And finally to Everett. Bobby, you're on WBZ.
Yes, how you doing, Gary?
I'm doing fine.
I'm a proud member also of Local 369. Gary, I'd just like you to touch on how the company keeps asking for your support in bringing these groups together and asking for your advice. And in reality, they don't want to hear it.
Well, I need the next hour to do that, brother. But the bottom line is, Local 369 has always been there to support any of our companies anytime we can. But we also know baloney when we see it. How's that?
Absolutely. And one more thing.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, Tom May. How many dogs have you killed today?
Oh,
geez. Oh, man.
Thank you, Bobby.
We got to screen these.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple thousand people are on strike against NSTAR, and I suppose on the first day of a strike, you have no idea how long is this going to go on. Now, your last strike back in the 80s was 28 days, I hear on the news. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was 28 days.
And do you have any feel? Is this going to be something that's long or not? What do you think?
You know, I got to tell you, looking at the list of stuff on the table, it's not that strong a list, so I'm a little bit nervous because they get all the money, they get all the power, but I got something they don't got. I got 2,000 members, and I got 500,000 members of the Mass AFL-CIO, and they're all behind us. We are very confident, and I'll tell you this, we are in it till the end. We are in it for whatever it takes.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary, for coming in tonight. I appreciate your time with us on WBZ.
Thank you very much.
All right, Gary Sullivan is the president of Local 369 of the Utility Workers Union of America. And once again, we have invited NSTAR to send a representative to the program if they wish. And we await hearing back from them on that. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we will be talking about cell phones and some legislation that is being pushed on Beacon Hill.